Well, right now, if you were to go to the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., or any other Holocaust museum, what you would typically find on a day-to-day basis there is that you would have volunteer docents, Holocaust survivors, who make themselves available to talk to the public. And usually when, you know, people have been around that very moving and emotional, you know, exhibition space, one thing they want to know is they want to know pressing questions about, you know, why this happened and what it meant for those who went through it. And those survivors, witnesses, make themselves available to answer those questions today. So what this will do, it'll provide an opportunity for those questions to be answered well into the future, because we're going to capture with those witnesses their testimony and also the interchange, the questions and answers that they have today, typically.
So they're going to be interactive.
They will be interactive. So if you imagine in a school, for example, today, a Holocaust survivor or witness of the Holocaust may well go into a school and tell their personal life history. And what we found is that students have a range of questions that they want to ask. And they're not typically, do you remember the date of your deportation to Auschwitz? What they want to know is, do you feel revenge about, you know, what happened to you? Do you feel bitter and angry? Do you believe in God after your experience? How did you start your life all over again? How did you make your way to America? Whatever the questions are, but they're always focused around the personal reflections more than the details of history. And what we want to try and do is capture some of that, because we know that those questions will be lingering on well into the future.
I guess that answers my question about how this is different than video recording or response technology, two-dimensional stuff. It must be much more effective at kind of communicating on a human level.
Well, that's right. What we're trying to do, really, we're not trying to replicate the human being, because we know we can't do that. There's something very beautiful about being and real about being human, and every interaction is entirely unique. So we know that will never be replicated. But what we are trying to do is say, how can we create the sort of intimacy that one would normally experience when talking to another human being, in which the specific question that you have on your mind, that you find an answer to that. And so, in fact, what we'll be doing typically with these interviews is we'll be asking the survivor around about 500 questions. And what happens is when I ask my question, so if I ask the question, do you believe in God after your experience, the computer system will go and look in those 500 answers and find the most closest answer to the question I asked and bring it back seamlessly so that, in fact, it feels like it's a direct answer to your question.
500 questions. I wonder, sounds like a kind of an arduous interviewing process for the survivors.
Yes, of course. Our interviewees are well into their 80s. They are wonderful people of, you know, tremendous experience. But to sit for the best part of 5 days and have questions asked is a very, very tough process. And of course, they're not easy questions to answer either, because they are really probing the, you know, the heart and soul of this experience and its very lingering and traumatic effect. So it's, you know, a small group of very tough people, but who are prepared to do this for the sake of the future for us, which is amazing.
It sounds like a pretty complicated filming process. And from what I read, you have people who worked on Avatar, the curious case of Benjamin Button working with you, and a certain director named Steven Spielberg.
Yes, well, the USC Shoah Foundation came about because after Schindler's List was filmed, which in fact, believe it or not, was 20 years ago, almost to the week it was on.
Stunning to consider, I must say.
Just, yeah, so when Steven Spielberg was in Poland, he had on occasion had survivors come on the set of Schindler's List. And one day a lady said to him, you know, I don't want to tell you just about this single day in my life, Mr. Spielberg. I'd like to tell you my whole story. And actually at that moment on the set, he realized that he wanted to give the opportunity for Holocaust survivors to tell their stories. And in fact, we have now at the USC Shoah Foundation 52,000 testimonies, witnesses of the Holocaust, and a really powerful and lasting legacy there. And so the Institute came about at the University of Southern California because Steven Spielberg wanted to make sure that the legacy of that project grew in an educational context. And USC is a wonderful place for that to take place, not only on the campus, but also sharing this, as we're doing with this project, with partners in museums and other institutions.
The Holocaust is actually one of the most documented historical events ever, happening in the 20th century, of course. And there's testimony not just from the survivors and Jews and non-Jews and people who lived in ghettos, but Nazi soldiers and guards at the camps. What is this adding to the testimony and the historical record we already have?
So what this is adding is a possibility of continued conversation. It's adding a personal dimension. You know, we have a great deal of documentation about the Holocaust, and that continues on to this day. The detailed research that we need to do around this area will continue for many, many years to come, because we have not even begun to scratch the surface on this horrendous period of history. But what we want to make sure that we do while there is time available to us is to have that intimate discussion about the human consequences and to ask the human questions of why, how, what does it mean, how do we as human beings struggle with this, and to turn to the survivors themselves to ask those questions, because, of course, time for that kind of research and that kind of conversation is now very limited.
Well, that's one of the questions. I've read a number of surveys of students around the world, contemporary students, who a frightening percentage of the students don't know what the Holocaust is. And, of course, if people go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, in Berlin, in a number of places around the world, they will be able to experience this. Is there any kind of technology being developed to be able to experience these 3D holograms outside of museum settings?
Well, in this particular case, the idea is that because the technology is very advanced and we want it to be a very deep and immersive experience, it'll be more limited in terms of where you'll be able to view and experience that. But the other way in which we're tackling this, we have a website for schools. It's called Eyewitness. And what it means is that teachers can go online and have over 1,300 Holocaust survivor testimonies available in their classroom. And in fact, just recently, we've just launched a one-year project allowing students right across the country and indeed around the world to use the Eyewitness website to make a video using the legacy of Oskar Schindler. And the question would be, so what can you find in your community, around you, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your home, something where you could make a difference in the same way that Oskar Schindler found himself faced with a situation and acted on what he saw? And we're inviting students right across the country to participate in putting together a video to tell what they did in their community, thinking about how to put their morals and their values into action in our world. And really, that's what we think teaching about the Holocaust should really be about, is getting the knowledge that these things happen, but also getting the tools to act and react within our world, because that's what we want to see happen.
Stephen Smith, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.